Today, we're talking with a representative from the Swedish Tourist Office. Tell us, what kind of vacation will I have if I plan a trip to Sweden?
Tourists planning a trip to Sweden have many different kinds of vacations to choose from. If you prefer big cities, you may choose to visit Stockholm, Sweden's largest city. In Stockholm, you can visit museums to learn about the local history and culture, and go to art galleries to see some Swedish art. There are also some beautiful old churches and castles to visit in and around the city. And of course, as in all big cities, there's lots of shopping and entertainment, such as concerts, shows, and restaurants.
And what about for people who love the outdoors?
For people who enjoy nature, there's a lot of it in Sweden. 50% of Sweden is covered with forests of beautiful trees, and many wild animals live there. 96,000 lakes and a long range of tall mountains offer tourists lots of opportunities for outdoor activities. Swimming, hiking, or relaxing on the beach in summer, and skiing or ice skating in winter. It's your choice. And Sweden can make your summer vacation seem longer because the sun shines almost all day and night. If you can stay awake, it's like doubling your vacation.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Not great. I'm so tired. I was up all night studying, and now I have to go to soccer practice for the big game tomorrow.
Hey, why don't you try one of those energy drinks? I hear they can really pick you up when you're tired. They are full of natural ingredients and vitamins, and I heard that they can help you play better at sports. A lot of athletes use them these days. And the great thing is you don't need to go to the doctor. You can just buy them at the market.
Well, I heard a report about those energy drinks. It said that many of them are unhealthy. They have a lot of caffeine and sugar, and you really shouldn't drink them before you exercise.
Wow. I didn't know that. Then you need to try the most natural remedy.
What's that?
Sleep.
Well, there are many factors that go into making a restaurant successful. I think one of the most important ones is to develop a concept for the restaurant. Something that makes the restaurant different from its competitors, like a theme. It could be a hip-hop or jazz restaurant, or a Hollywood movie star cafe. Something that makes it unique. This is important since the restaurant business is very competitive. There's an old saying that goes, "Location, location, location." And it's true. It's important to do some research. Find out how many cars drive past the site every day, and also how many pedestrians walk by. And why? Because you want people to know about your restaurant. So it needs to be in a place that's visited by business people, people who live in the area, as well as tourists. Finally, promotion and advertising are absolutely necessary. Because your restaurant is new, you need to find a way to attract customers into the restaurant. They don't know about the restaurant. You have to find a way to tell them about it. For example, you might advertise through radio, newspapers, or magazines. Or maybe you mail out advertising to potential customers, offering them a coupon for a free drink or a meal, or something like that.
My name is James Howard, and I'm a library assistant in Central Ivy, Cambridge. My main day-to-day responsibilities here are the sort of everyday running of the library, so it's assisting customers in whatever tasks or jobs they might have. We get here about 8:45 in the morning, and that time we spend starting up all the machines, dealing with that morning's papers and periodicals, cataloguing them and putting them on the racks, just walking around the building and making sure that everything's working, spotting any faults, and that sort of thing. The customers come in at 9:00, and from then on it's essentially a day of moving about the library, helping people in whatever way they need it, restocking the shelves, dealing with inquiries as they come, and occasionally dealing with special one-off incidents such as events we have going on that day. And this continues right through to about 6:45 when we start to shut down the library. Working here is very different to the old library. Our job is much more free. We're able to move about and meet the customers on the floor and talk to them, which is much more liberating than the old system where we were essentially stuck behind a desk dealing with people there. So our job is now much more fluid. We have to be much more proactive in searching out problems rather than waiting for them to come to us. It's much better, I have to say, than it used to be. I chose librarianship because books, reading and information has always been something that interests me. Ever since I was a young child, I've had massive collections of books and was a bit of a bane to all the librarians of my youth. But they're the things that really interest me, and I wanted the chance to be able to help other people, encourage them to read and help them just find out those bits of information which aren't easy to do on your own. So that was my main inspiration. Again, sometimes people can be the hardest bit of the job. Sometimes their demands are very, very high, or they have very little information about what they want, and you have to do your best with that. And that can make things difficult, but it's definitely worth it for the times when things work. I think in 100 years' time, most things will be digital. It's simply a far easier way to store and transmit information. But there is something very special about the book and its printed word, and I think it still will be around in 100 years' time, but perhaps just not widely distributed as it is now. At the moment, I really enjoy the job, but I would like to move on to take a professional librarianship qualification and to move on into the professional world of librarianship eventually, but that's for the future.
Sports and weather are coming up, but first, here's Health Watch with our medical specialist, Dr. Linda Byrne. Dr. Byrne, there's no question that technological advances in the last decade or two have made our lives easier, but all this technology has its downsides as well, doesn't it?
That's right, Peter, especially for those suffering from syndromes caused by the stress of our high-tech lifestyles.
And this is a relatively recent development, isn't it?
Definitely. Such syndromes were nearly unheard of in 1980, before the growth of the internet and the high-tech industry. Since 1990, however, nearly 300 cases of technology-related stress syndrome were identified. There was a slight drop-off after 1990, but soon the number of cases jumped to three times 1990's rate, which is where it stands today.
Could you give us some examples?
Well, one of these syndromes is eye strain, in which the eyes become red, watery, and itchy. Eye strain is caused by long hours in front of the computer and compounded by long nights playing video games or watching TV without getting much sleep. One treatment that's recommended is to get away for several days and just look at some beautiful natural scenery with no computers. The second is the well-known carpal tunnel syndrome, a very painful condition of the hands and arms caused by the overuse of keyboards and mice. A trained physical therapist can help with a regimen of stretching and strengthening exercises that have brought good results in many cases.
So the syndromes are usually physical?
There can also be psychological problems. Take, for instance, a third syndrome we informally call gadget addiction. It applies to people who use electronics all day long, nonstop. These people have a deep sense of loneliness whenever they hang up their cell phone or log off the internet. One suggested treatment is to learn to disconnect from the wired world. Leave technology behind for a few hours. Take up a creative hobby or go for a bike ride with friends. Just be sure to leave all the gadgets alone.
Thanks, Dr. Byrne. And for more information, go to our website and click on our Health Watch link. And then turn off the computer.
Hello, and welcome to Who's Sorry Now? Today we're going to be taking your calls about what you could have done, what you wish you'd done, and what you really should have done, because you're sorry now. Here's our first caller. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Chris.
So, Mark, what did you do? What do you think you should or maybe shouldn't have done?
Okay. When I was in college, I shared a house with a couple of other guys. We used to play practical jokes on each other. You know, hide each other's shoes, put salt in the sugar bowl, that kind of thing.
Okay, right?
Well, I'm pretty good at faking voices. So this one time, my roommate Luke applied for a job at a store in town. The store manager called to ask him to come in for an interview. I pretended I was Luke.
Okay.
I told him that me pretending to be Luke, that I didn't really want the job.
And?
So I didn't tell Luke about the call.
Uh-huh.
So Luke thought they weren't interested in him, and that was that.
Not very nice.
No, I felt terrible. I still do. I should have told him about the call.
So, who's sorry now, Mark?
I am. I'm really, really sorry, Luke.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Next caller, Anna.
Well, I was on vacation with my family. We were driving around national parks. It should have been a great trip, but my brother had just gotten a harmonica for his birthday. He loved it, and he played it all the time. And I had to listen to it all the time. And he was terrible. So, we stopped at this place in the desert, and when he wasn't looking, I threw it as far away from the car as I could. When he discovered it was missing, he looked everywhere for it.
You didn't really need to throw it away, did you? You could have just hidden it.
Yeah, you're right. I should have just put it in my suitcase or something. I didn't have to throw it out, but I did.
And you're sorry now?
Yeah, very. He saved up and bought a drum set when we got home, and then I had to listen to that every night.
Aw, too bad for you. Next caller, Luke.
Hi, Chris. Your first caller was my old roommate, Mark. He told you about my job interview?
Right, he never should have done that. That was mean. I bet you're mad.
No, not really. I decided I didn't have time for a job. I really needed to study and called the manager to tell him. He told me he already knew. I knew right away it was Mark.
So you weren't angry when you found out what he'd done?
A little. He was supposed to be one of my best friends. I probably should have told him I knew what he'd done, but I kind of enjoyed his call tonight. He's had to live with his secret all these years, so all I can say is, I got you, Mark!
Okay, okay. That's all we have time for tonight on Who's Sorry Now? Tune in next week to hear more people talk about their...